All right, we are gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God who has come in the flesh. And we are involved in an ongoing study of our Lord Jesus Christ by means of a series that is viewing all of those places that deal with the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ being God these days on Wednesday night. And we've covered a lot of ground so far. We've dealt with those places that directly call Him God. And those are, some of those, not easy to see in your conventional translations. We translated some of the Granville Sharp rule of Greek grammar and syntax, and we showed you how He is called God in no uncertain terms, straight out, straightforwardly. That took us into, as well, a long time in the Gospel of John. Last week, we looked at the Lord Jesus Christ being called Yahweh, as we saw Old Testament passages quoted in the New, Old Testament passages that call Him, that refer to Yahweh, but in the New Testament, those passages applied to the Lord Jesus Christ and calling Him Lord. And this is, today we begin a new, what we're calling threads. Is that broadcasting me to Johnstown, Pennsylvania? Wow. Look at that. Everyone say hello to Seth. He's at work. Hey. Hello, Seth. Grace and peace to you.
Hey, all right.
All right. This is wonderful.
If Paul had only had that.
I mean, just... If Paul had that, we wouldn't have Romans through Philemon. He'd just do it like that. So I'm glad he didn't have that. But today we start a new thread, and we hinted at it last week. I told you straight out we'd be dealing with this week, wherein we look at the attributes of God, and we said not communicable attributes, that is not things like kindness or love or mercy, things that God has, definite attributes of God that can be communicated, amalgamated, that can be transferred to the saints as well, and we begin to live in those things. Not attributes like that. The kind of attributes that only God can have. That as to their nature and as to His essence, there is that's the only possibility of any being in the universe having these, what we call, non-communicable attributes. And in every one of those cases where God is like this, God has this, the Bible's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ having those attributes too. So attributes that are only true of God. Something similar to it, we might speak about actions that are only attributable to God. They're attributed to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible. But we've seen a lot of those in our treatment of the John thread. Things like creation ascribed to the Lord Jesus Christ, resurrection of the dead ascribed to the Lord Jesus Christ, the giving of spiritual life to individuals ascribed to the Lord Jesus Christ, all judgment ascribed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But those are the actions of deity, actions that only God can do. We're not so much talking about actions today, but attributes. And so with that said, let's dive into those attributes of God that are said to be possessions of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. To begin this, let's turn to Malachi chapter 3. This is very relevant to us as relates to eternal security as well. But we're just interested in the attribute itself here. Malachi 3:6. For I am Yahweh, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Since God doesn't change, and He has signed on as devoted to the Israel of God, we can't be consumed. He is devoted to us. He is devoted to us forever, for time and all of eternity future, and therefore we're not consumed because God doesn't change. But the attribute that we're interested in tonight is immutability. Now, immutability is a big word that just means no ability to change. The facet of the essence, not the nature, of deity that sees it that he can't change. What's the difference, because I make that distinction with you, what's the difference between essence and nature? His essence is that which he is. It is the ontological being of God. The substance is a word that is often used synonymously, interchangeably with the word essence, theologically. That is, his being. What he is, who he is, that's essence. Nature is what he's like. It deals with things like character. So we become partakers of the divine nature in 2 Peter chapter 1 through the exceedingly great and precious promises. That's the communicable side of what God is like. We can become recipients of the communicable attributes of God's nature. But we're never going to be recipients of the non-communicable attributes of God's essence. And this is one of them. Immutability. God doesn't change. He's the same all the time. We change. And we change in a lot of different ways. We change physically. Some of that physical change we have control over. Our weight changes. Our lats get bigger or smaller if you stop working them. When we age, you can see crow's feet and laugh lines and parentheses, and you lose hair and you get gray hair, and you know, all of these things happen when you age, so you change, and all of those are physical things. But we also have the ability to change things that aren't physical. And we are in the process of progressive conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ as we went from where we were day one salvation to when we are perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ in glorification. All along that way in the experiential road, we're changing. And we're changing for the better. So physically, we can change for the worse and then make adjustments and change for the better again. Or some things like aging, we're going to change for the worse and it's just going to get worse. And you're just going to change until you die. Then there are those things in the spiritual, in the soulical, that can fluctuate too. We can change upon regeneration for the better drastically, and then you can, what is commonly called, backslide. And that is, you can begin to make certain wrong decisions and retrograde, and you can change for the worse again, and then you can repent. And you can change for the better again. And that's something that's entirely dependent on you and the decisions that you make toward the Word of God. But in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should add this one too, and you will be changed. at the coming of the Lord or your departure through death permanently, but it's permanent change. It is a change so that you are glorified and the sin nature is eradicated and you don't have the possibility of sin anymore. That's a great change that we're looking forward to. Amen. So that's, we change, right? We change, we can change. But God doesn't change. He is perfect, and He never diminishes in that perfection. And perfection admits no improvement. You can't improve on perfection. So don't do this, okay? It's one of my pet peeves. You can't be more perfect than somebody else. Perfect is just, it's there. You're perfect. You can't improve at all anymore. Something is not more perfect than something else. It's perfect or it's imperfect. It may be on its way to some kind of perfection. But in the case of God, God is perfect, always has been perfect. He is perfect in everything that is about Him. He is perfect as to His knowledge. He's perfect as to His love. He is perfect as to His essence. He cannot improve upon His essence. He is truly perfect. And if one is perfect, part of that perfection is immutability. Adam and Eve were created sinless, but they were still mutable. That means they weren't perfect, because there was always that possibility of decline. And however long it took for Adam and Eve to choose negatively and sin at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and so long it took for that probationary period, that test that was hanging on a tree in the middle of the garden, to be failed on the part of man, and they declined greatly. There was great, you can't even say regression, because they weren't ever there before, but just drastic decline, so drastic that we call it total depravity. We call it a fall. And so they fell. That's men. They were created sinless, but not necessarily perfect. Because perfect admits no possibility of decline. God is perfect. So He has attained to this, He hasn't even attained, He's just naturally, morally perfect, but without any possibility of that being damaged. So He is immutable, and it is part of what real perfection is. So we have God stating that about Himself here. I am Yahweh, personal proper name for God that we dealt with a lot last week. I do not change. Come on in, lots of seats up here. I do not change. It is an attribute of God. It is a non-communicable attribute of the essence of God. But now I want to look to the great delight of Gary here, to Hebrews chapter 13, please. If you don't know it, Gary loves the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and literally into the ages. So in the past, the Lord Jesus Christ was the same. Today, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same. Into the ages, any ages future, you want to talk about millennial kingdom on the earth, into the eternal state after that, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same. Now, He could add something to Himself, namely humanity with all of its accoutrements, but His deity remained unchanged. If He is immutable, there is only one being who is immutable. namely God, and thus the Lord Jesus Christ has this attribute of God, showing that He is God. Let's go to the next one. Turn with me in your copy of the Scriptures, please, to Amos chapter 4, verse 13. Amos 4, 13. We'll kind of be all over the Scriptures today.
Going back to the white pages here. Yeah. No crinkles in these.
Okay. All right. Thinking, what are the white pages? Aren't they all white? But I understand now. Amos chapter 4 and verse 13. For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his thought is. Obviously God so far, right? God is the creator of mountains and wind and declares to man what his thought is. The idea is, I know what you're thinking. Let me just tell you about something in the Septuagint here. Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures. Do you know how the Septuagint renders this? Who declares to man what his thought is? In the Septuagint it is, who proclaims his Christ to men. Significant difference there. And makes the morning darkness, who treads the high places of the earth, Yahweh, God of hosts, is his name. So we're definitely talking, even if we didn't have Yahweh by name mentioned, you know who the creator